Welcome to the... Oh, why can't I hear myself? We're off to extreme technical difficulties right away, folks. We're, you know, I'm on top of things over here, I promise. That's not the right button. There we go. Now I can hear myself. So I'm Kyle Hedin. I am your host. This is the Floor Academy podcast. This intro is off to a great start. And I'm the former owner. I'm still the owner of Illustrious Hardwares. I still haven't figured out how to do this intro since I've technically closed the installation business, but it's not closed on paper. So I am the owner of Illustrious Hardwoods. I am a licensed contractor in the state of Arizona still. I'm just not doing that. We're doing this now. I want to help you grow your business with Floor Academy and our weekly interviews and other programs that we offer. We're, instead of talking about the technical side, which there is a ton of information on that, we talk the business side and how you can be more efficient, more productive, more profitable, and free up your time. Because I know, as a business owner, you got into it saying, I'm going to go hang out with my family, I'm going to take vacations, I'm going to do all of these awesome things, I'm going to invest in my hobbies. And I know you're just not getting that stuff. You're not getting enough of it. You're frustrated and you want it and you haven't figured out how to do it. Every week we're having the discussions to allow you to build a business that grants you the free time you actually wanted. You're going to get a lifestyle lift by applying everything you learn here. That's why we're here. Thank you for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, go check out the YouTube, get subscribed over there. That way you can see our beautiful faces as we record these things. What else? Check out the website. Lots of tools over there. Check out our mastermind groups if you truly want to take your business to another level. The accountability you get, the externalization that you're forced to go through to talk about your problems among your peers is absolutely amazing. And then you get awesome feedback from people that are going through what you're going through on how to fix it. They may have already have been through it and can give you advice that's going to let you skip forward leaps and bounds. Everybody's vetted. Everybody's serious. There is no wishy-washy. If you have joined a mastermind group, you are competing to be at the top level of this industry when you join one of those groups. I'm looking to put together one for Wednesday evenings. I've got one on the waiting list. I need four more. So if that's you, reach out and I will get you taken care of. FloorAcademyPodcast@gmail.com. You can find me through Facebook, LinkedIn. You can hit me in all the spots. That's enough from me. Why are we here? We're here with Sam Bruce of Visalia Ceramic Tile this week. He is a third generation partner with the company. His grandma and grandpa started it. Grandma and Grandpa Martinho started it in 1985. That's when it was officially incorporated. There was a company that Grandpa was running previously to that. They've got over 30 CTIs. They are five-star contractor. They're nationally and locally recognized for projects they've done. It's kind of a big deal. But one of the things that's led to their success is the fact that they have 30 CTIs. They have an apprenticeship program that's in place for their employees. They know how to hire people. They know how to retain people. And there are systems and processes in place that allow them to do this. It didn't happen overnight. Don't let them, you know, no one's going to fool you on that. But there was hard work and dedication that was put into building this over time. Except what they knew they didn't need to do was reinvent the wheel. And there are resources available for you to be able to implement training programs into your company, and it's not as hard as you think. So we're going to get into all of that. Sam is also the current president of the NTCA. I don't even know how he has time to run the company, because I'm sure that's a demanding gig as well. But he's making it all happen. So that's enough out of me. Sam, who are you? What do you do, and why do you do it?
Well, kind of like you already said, I'm third generation into the tile business. And, you know, I was pretty much born into this. I've been full time for over 26 years. You know, I've kind of worked my way up through the company, even though this is a family business. I mean, you're not, you know, we're not successful unless, you know, people are held accountable. And so there's been a huge accountability. I've done everything from being a tile finisher to a warehouse guy to a sales rep in our showroom, you know, all the way through, you know, to my current role as owner and president.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was getting a drink of water. I thought you were going to keep going. I love that you've gone and done the different positions. I actually just interviewed Cody Cox, who I know you're familiar with. And he's done the same thing as he's moved around the company for his dad and experienced a lot of positions. I think that's great for family companies that you're not just handed something. You're made to work for it, learn it, and go and understand the different positions and where people are coming from and how everything operates, connects, and flows, so that you have a better understanding of the company instead of, well, I've only ever set tile and now here I'm going to run this thing, and then you just run it as a setter instead of someone that has a, you know, wide range of knowledge of all the aspects of the business, which is way more important. So I love that. Before we get into learning about your apprentice program, I forgot a step here, and I got a quick word from Krona Software. If you're looking for an easy and affordable way to manage your business, Krona's Flooring Software is your solution. Streamline your workflow for managing leads, inventory, and scheduling installations. It includes every feature needed to support your business at a very affordable price. It's extremely user-friendly and easy to navigate. It fully integrates with QuickBooks Online to make tackling your profitability as easy as clicking a button. And you can learn more by visiting kronossoft.com and scheduling a demo. That's KRONUSSOFT.com. Chesney and Victor will get you taken care of. And this is a CRM built by a flooring retailer for the flooring industry, because he just couldn't find a solution that really made sense with the current offerings. Go ahead, give them a check them out and let them know I sent you over. And you know, I would love to hear your feedback on what you think about it. All right. Now that's enough out of me. I'm sorry. So, apprenticeship program, Sam, there's a lot of guys and gals that just, I see the posts every week and it's, I can't find anybody good. How are you hiring people? Where are you finding them? Does anybody have a job description? You know, does anybody have SOPs they're using? Can you share them with me? It's all these questions of guys and gals wanting to start getting into having an actual business instead of owning a job. But there's not a lot of people, like, sadly, it's just like the technical advice. Like, a lot of guys and gals aren't willing to fully train their, I hate the term, I hate that I'm going to say this, they won't fully train their helpers. And then they go out, those helpers leave and they go out on their own. And then they wonder why the bar is diminished in the industry. And so they just don't want to pass on that information because they're scared you're going to take it and put them out of your competition to them, instead of elevating the industry as a whole, right? If we all have better companies that we're running, sure, it's a harder landscape, but it should be a more profitable and successful one for everyone. And the cream's going to rise to the top. So if we're all better, then we can finally push out all the hacks that everybody wants to push out, because they just won't have an opportunity. But that's a whole nother conversation probably. But where did the idea even start? Like, how long has this kind of been in place at Visalia?
Well, you know, just like everybody else, we trained for, you know, forever, we trained on the job. And you know, just kind of starting there and going back to that, you only get so much out of on the job training, and it takes people time. Some people grasp those things really quick and everything's great. However, many people don't truly understand why they're doing things. As a tile helper or a tile finisher, you know, whatever your term, you know, you want to use, that apprentice, when you're just told to do something, you don't always know exactly why you're here. These steps are important. So, you know, we added our apprenticeship program about 5 years ago. Okay. And it truly all came about through the NTCA. The NTCA was working on a program, you know, volunteers like myself, you know, Dan Welch, you know, Welch Tile in Michigan, it played a huge role in it. But this was all created by the industry. So, you know, once this got put into place, we just took full advantage of it. You know, There's no reason why I had to go and try to create all this on my own. It's out there. You know, it's out there. It's ready. It's a resource. And, you know, what we have done is we've just taken this program and implemented it into our business, implemented it into our training and how we train, you know, our tile finishers, you know, our apprentices. So now when they go through this program, you know, they're not just being told to go do something, you know, mix a bucket of thinset or mix grout or whatever it may be. They're not just told to do something and you know, they go through the actions. They have a full understanding of why and the importance of whatever tasks that they may be doing. That has been hugely beneficial, because before it would take anywhere from, on a quick side, 2 years to put an apprentice into a setting position, you know, because that's the goal, to, you know, keep elevating people, not keep them as a tile helper or tile finisher.
Yeah.
Now, you know, 2 years would be about the fastest. Most of the time, though, is closer to a 5-year, you know, commitment to learning the trade. Now we see guys going through this program, and within 6 months after going through our finisher program, you know, they're ready to make the next step.
That's awesome.
Having an understanding of why you're really doing things, now it elevates people to the next level. You know, now they're ready to, hey, take on their own job and actually go install, you know, without supervision.
I love that you started with, I have to explain why to people, because that was something I was always the guy that was asking questions. Like, I would be there all day. Hey, you got to go do this. Why? Why do I, you know, why are we using this trowel? Why are we using this glue? Why does the wood have to be cut this way? Why do we have to install it? I was always asking questions. And a couple of the people I worked for, it annoyed the crap out of. A couple of people I worked for, they were happy to explain. And it reminds me of children. And for those of you with them, you know that they hit you up, right? Hey, you can't eat that. Well, why? 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 Like, it's a 2-3-year-old kid only knows how to ask why. And the answer of, well, because, isn't acceptable. There has to be an explanation if you want your child to actually understand the concept of why it's bad for them, or why doing this task is good for them, how it's going to help them benefit, or how it helps the family, whatever it is, right? Like, you have to know the reason. And you nailed it. Is everyone's go make this cut, go mix this thin set, go do, why am I doing any of these tasks? And I know it's annoying. You just want to get it done. You want to move faster. They're there to help you. They'll help you more if they actually understood the reason. And then when you send them out on their own, you wonder why they take all the shortcuts. It's because they don't know that why they have to do something. And so, well, that's not important. I can just skip this step. And then this person sucks. I can't use them anymore. Well, you did them the disservice. They didn't do you the disservice, right? And evaluating that and actually looking at it is great. And now you have a program in place that's, it doesn't sound like it happens slowly, but it gives you the chance to really dig in and have like classroom time to say, here's the hows and whys. And now you can go back out to the field and apply it and see how it actually works. There's a reason that everything has instructions that we use in this industry. And it's so that you understand the why. You don't have to understand the chemistry of the thin set. You just need to know this is how it's mixed so that it works properly. So what, go ahead.
Correct. No, I was just going to say 100% correct. These things too, like, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head. They do take time. You know, it's no matter what, you're going to put time. If you want a good quality, installer, you know, it's going to take time to get them trained. We prefer, you know, people to come in without any experience. Mm-hmm. We want to train them. We want to put them through the program. We find that our best and most valuable, installers are people that we've trained here, you know, because they're doing things the right way, or at least the way that, you know, we want, you know, to, we want them done. And, you know, it's hard to break those habits when you bring somebody who has the experience. And, you know, there's been some good people that came to us in the past, you know, with experience, but there's been a lot more that just don't ever get it and fit in with our mm-hmm. company, and truly are not, you know, what they say they are, you know, once they, you know, once you get them, you know, in the field and working.
That I believe, right? Everyone's the expert, and I've been doing it 30 years and never had a failure. And you look at some of what they're doing and you're like, that can't be true. You've just been doing it 30 years and haven't gotten called back because nobody wanted you back.
That's right.
Having been, again, your grandfather had a tile company before it became Visalia and the new company was started, but having started in 1985 and having done it with in-field training, I've got to imagine that there's a union influence here somewhere in the history, just based on how long the company's been around.
Yeah, not necessarily, and it's because here we're in Central California, so we're kind of in a bubble.
Okay,
you know, LA is, you know, 3 hours away to, you know, south of us. San Francisco is, you know, 3 hours north of us. So you know, we're surrounded by dairy farming and, you know, a lot of small towns. So the union has never really had a big presence here. And really, I mean, there are union contractors around, but not like you see in the bigger cities.
Okay.
And as far as my family goes, it was, you know, it was never a part of, you know, our business. I believe my grandpa got into the business through his brother, which I don't know how he got in the business. However, you know, they were doing tile in since the 60s. So,
okay. All right. So there's not a union background. What I'm looking for is I want to know how the training, you were like, we just kind of trained him in the field and we've really only had this apprenticeship program for 5 years. Was there any standard of how each setter was training the apprentice? I'm assuming you probably assigned somebody to somebody and you weren't mixing teams up constantly, but again, I mean, correct me and let me know, but was there any kind of consistency that, you know, Dave and Bob both trained their guys the same way, or was it just however that person got trained by the whoever they were with is how they got trained, and there was some standard of we expect it to be done this way, but how you reached it, there was leeway in how it happened?
Yeah, no, I would say that two of my uncles are probably the most responsible for, you know, for the training that was happening in the field in the 80s. And it kind of all started with them. I have one of them who's very, very technical, you know, high knowledge when it comes to the way things should be done right. Another one who, you know, kind of the same way, but his biggest asset was production. You know, he was going to, you know, tile as much as he could in any one day. And those two guys trained everybody. So okay. It was almost like the perfect combination of, you know, technical and production. And it was pretty much led by them. You know, for the longest time, it was, you know, are these guys ready? You know, the crews that, you know, that are being trained, or the guys that are being trained, are they ready, you know, to start,
okay,
you know, installing on their own?
So there was consistency within the company because those two were responsible for, here's somebody new, you get them up to speed. When you deem them ready, we can get them out on their own doing a project, and we trust them at that point. So there was a system, right, and a process.
And it really snowballed from there. I mean, they trained somebody, so that guy was trusted, and that guy was training people. So it just kind of multiplied as it went, but it all started with them too.
Okay. So now that you have the apprentice program for the last 5 years, can anybody train somebody, or is it still left to you have very specific people that do the bulk of the training until they're deemed, you know, I don't want to say worthy, but you know, they're up to snuff and can go out on their own.
Yeah, no, there's anyone can train somebody, especially when it comes to on the job. However, what the apprenticeship program has really done is it's kind of created a better process. So now everybody's learning at least the same things. Okay. You know, they might pick up, you know, these other, you know, tips or habits or whatever from who they're working with in the field. But for the most part, you know, just this, then the instruction that they're getting in the classroom, I mean, which is a lot. It's 288 hours, you know, so they're getting a lot of instruction in the classroom that is just making, you know, it gets us all on the same page with everybody. And then it allows everybody in the field to kind of still, you know, give that on-site training as well.
Okay. That's a lot of time. That's 288 hours over, well, it's over 5 years, 4 years, 5 years, right?
Well, we try to do ours within a 2 year period.
Okay. So 140 hours a year, you do 50 hours a week. So about 3 hours a week. All right. A lot of guys and gals are going to object to, I don't have time to pay somebody 3 hours a week to sit there and do nothing for me. So how do we, and you're on a larger scale, Sam, so you have more advantages, mm-hmm. and there's, you know, right, you can operate a company this way and pull people out of the field and put them in a warehouse for 4 hours a Friday or whatever it is you do. I'm sure there's a set day that, like, right. everyone comes out of the field, we do the training that we need to do. How do you get the little guy to understand that the 3 hours is going to more than pay for itself?
Yeah, well, there's many ways to use this program. So I've actually taken the program and had it registered, you know, with the Department of Labor. Okay, so once I've done that, I have to meet a certain amount of hours, you know, 288 mm-hmm. hours. So, you know, that's just because I'm meeting a requirement. Not everybody has to use that program in this way. You know, what the NTCA has created in this resource that's there is there's about 30 hours of video training. Okay. So it's not necessarily, you know, you have to put everybody through this, you know, 3 year program or 2 year program, whatever. Mm-hmm. You just need them to go through 30 hours of video. We've taken that video and expanded upon it. For example, there might be a 10-minute video on grouts. You know, it's a great video. However, we're going to go in more depth in the classroom and say, hey, you know, here's high-performance grouts, here's sanded grouts, these are the epoxy grouts, and we're going to go through all of that in depth. That's what gets us to 288 hours. Not everybody has to use it that way. But if you want somebody to be prepared before, let's just say before it's the next day that you're going to go do some epoxy grouting, have them watch a video. At least that gets them, in the right direction and going before they just show up at the job site and kind of wondering what to do.
Okay. So you can take a little bit of time out of your day. It doesn't have to all be done at once, and we can break it up. I want to throw out that, you know, obviously we keep mentioning the National Tile Contractors Association and that they've built something out that they offer to their members within the tile industry. For my carpet, for my hardwood, for my other hard surface guys, my resilient guys out there, that maybe there's not a program design. Like I don't think the NWFA has. They have NWFA University, and you can get a ton of learning on, but I don't know that there's actually a structured apprentice program. You're wondering, well, how do I do this, right? I'm going to have to sit down and build this out. Well, you are, but why don't you talk to some of your partners in the industry and find out where people are at? And then the biggest thing you can do to save yourself time is if you have a new person you're training, best thing you can do, and why you had to take notes in school or were at least told to, was the fact that you were hearing it, you were seeing it, and then you were writing it. And so you were taking it in three different ways, which helps you learn better. So if you tell your apprentice to take notes, hand them a notebook, right? And now, hey, I'm going to start training you on this task. And you walk them through how to do the task and they take notes, step one, step two, step three, I got to do all this stuff. Not only are you reinforcing the information to them, they're writing your training manual. And so at the end of the day, you can say, hey, let me get your notebook. I'm going to take it home tonight. I'm going to type this stuff up. You can start compiling everything into the computer and building out an actual training program for your company. And you don't have to get home and start rethinking through everything you did that day. It's already written down. The notes are already taken. It's all there for you. And if you put that together with three or four other guys that are and gals that are running a company and they're doing the same thing, you can start comparing notes, pulling from them. Oh, I don't have to build this process out. It's already done, right? You start exchanging the information. You're going to build it out a lot faster and more successfully. And then the next person you bring on, they're going to get trained the exact same way as the last person, because that's another problem I see is that although your uncles were probably very consistent, there was probably inconsistencies. And now that you have this standardized program that everyone's going through, that's going to become a finisher, there's no more questions of, well, did they learn this or did they get the same info? Like, it's absolutely consistent every time because it's documented how to do it. So have you seen a difference since that?
Yeah, there's been a huge difference, how fast somebody's ready to make the next step. Cause that's really what it's all about. You know, we're not trying to keep these guys as helpers or finishers till for the next 10 years, mm-hmm. Most people want to make the next step, and that's really the goal, is to get them to the next step. And the amount of time that has taken is way faster than what it used to be. You said something just a minute ago that, kind of reminded me, one thing we do with a new employee, from day one, is we have taken some of these videos, that's out there, and we call it first day on the job. So we've taken about five or six of these videos, and it just runs through, kind of your basics of what to expect, when they go out on the first day of the job. Mm-hmm. There has been a huge difference. I because we get complaints from our tile setters all the time. Hey, you hired somebody that doesn't know anything. We put them through these videos and this first day of training. And really, I say day, it's not a day, it's a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And they're going out there. They don't need help setting up a saw because they understand that. They don't need help to, mix and thin set, if it's their first time, because, it was shown to them, through this video and a little bit of instruction already before they got to the site. So these are all time savers that, you have in the field, which, really that's what it comes down to. You got to be able to produce to a certain amount to make money or make it worth your while. When you're doing all of these things ahead of time and you just have these, take this simple instruction that's already out there, it does wonders for not only for that guy who's getting the training, but also for that person that they're out there helping, that they're working with. They're not wasting their time showing somebody how to set up a saw or whatever it may be.
It makes a lot of sense. I'm going to tackle that in one second. We got a quick word from Johns Manville, and then we will jump back into this program. Compatible with all GoBoard products is the new GoBoard membrane. If you're asking why a membrane when GoBoard itself is waterproof through and through, the answer is simple. A membrane extends your GoBoard installation for mud pans, steam rooms, and shared walls requiring a fire-rated board under the waterproofing. Now, who's going to be the most badass GoBoard installer out there? You are. You can visit www.jm.com/GoBoard for all the product details and learn more about their other products, including all of their acceptable sealants that work with it. You don't have to use Gilbert sealant if you get yourself in a jam. And we know what that's like post COVID-19 and supply crunches and all of that fun stuff. So, you know, check them out, find out about their other products. You got the Go Board wedges, you got the shower pan kit system. There's all kinds of good stuff. Again, jm.com/GoBoard. So you remind me of my days at UPS, Sam. And when I was hired there, we went through like a week of sitting in the classroom like half the night. And it's a part-time shift, like 4 hours long. And we'd spend an hour and a half, 2 hours in the classroom. And then we'd go out into the trailers for like another hour and a half or so. And a lot of it was to get us through compliance stuff of, you know, this is how you have to turn things on and off. This is all the safety stuff. Here's all the OSHA guidelines, da, 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 da. But I also was given a trainer, and they were assigned to me for my first 30 days there to be with me, teach me, answer any questions I had, show me the ins and outs of how to do everything. And, you know, there's workbooks to be filled out. There was all this stuff in place. And I think that's what's missing. And so I love that you were like, they can come in, they can watch this video. It fast tracks them to be able to go out in the field and understand what thinset is, what a drill is, what the saw is, how to set it up. Like, you've come up with very quick ways to demonstrate a skill so that it doesn't have to be done by the actual journeyman in the field every single time they get someone new, which, okay, that's what, it's 10 minutes to learn how to set up a saw. It's 5 minutes to teach them how to mix thinset. But if they're getting somebody new every week because of just high turnover rates, you know, 15 minutes a week is going to add up into your time. What is that? Even if we go to an even 48, it's 12 hours a year, which doesn't seem like a lot, but you got what, you have 30 CTIs. So now we're at 360 hours for the company. That's a big deal. That's yeah, a lot of time to get something done.
Yeah, actually, as of about a couple months ago, we're at 40 CTIs.
Okay.
So sorry, I forgot to correct you.
No, we're
somewhere around 40.
Okay. Well, now we're closer to 500 hours. So like, yeah, 500 hours at, you know, I'm assuming you have a generous compensation package and probably some benefits. So it's got to be at least, you know, close to $100 a man. So that's, you know, $50,000 a year to the bottom line, because we can speed somebody up that quickly. And that's extrapolating for a large company. But on a small company, if you're only doing $300,000 a year and you save $3,000, you're doing pretty damn good. That's 1%.
Yeah.
What other advantages have you seen by being able to have just a program developed that not only fast tracks them, but gets them information so you're not constantly in the field teaching something over and over and over again when it can be taught somewhere else successfully, you know, one time or maybe one time in a follow up?
Yeah, there's, I think probably, gosh, I don't know if this is the biggest advantage of it, but it's definitely a huge, is there's a pathway, you know. So, you know, these guys that are, you know, going through this training, they understand that there's something more for them. You know, they're not stuck, you know, just always being a helper, you know, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. They understand that there's, and as they go along, there's wage increases once they complete, you know, a certain amount of training hours and competencies, there's wage increases. So there's a pathway. They see they're not just going to be stuck, you know, in this position. And that's one thing that we, you know, we really try to you know, get out there to all of our employees is, you know, there's more. You're not, you know, there's more to what you're doing now. And, you know, you can, you know, there's really not a ceiling. So, with the guys seeing that, you know, there's certain ones that they take advantage of that. And, you know, those are the ones that are fast tracked usually. And, you know, and there's others that, you know, they see the benefit and, you know, they move right along as well. So that's been huge just for the confidence and, you know, just for them to see a pathway that, you know, they are, you know, I can't think of the right word right now, but they are promoting to other levels.
Well, there's a clear advancement. You can advance in the company and you can clearly see that there's opportunities outside of being an apprentice within yourself. You can move to, you know, okay, I've got 2 years of experience and I don't, whatever you want to call them, right? They're, yeah. You know, they go from apprentice to finisher to journeyman, and they can go be a journeyman for 10 years. They see that, well, the company continues to grow. Hey, they need a new salesman, like, or there's an opportunity within the warehouse. And so there's probably management positions available that are being communicated. And I think that's lacking in a lot of small businesses too, is it's like, oh, I need to go hire a helper. I'm going to get him. What can do if all you want is a helper, like, I get it. Okay. But make that clear that there's like, this person has nowhere to go to them, because a lot of people get hired on as helper thinking that they're going to be an apprentice and that you're going to teach them all these skills and build them up and let them go out on their own and be able to help you grow your company. And the visions aren't matching. And it sounds like you, Vasily does a very good job of communicating where the company's going, what it expects, how you move forward. And that was very clear to me in my days of working in larger corporations was, you know, you knew how you could advance within the organization through whether you wanted to be a laborer or management. There was a clear path for you to move forward and what it took to reach those. And it made it very easy to do it. If you wanted to strive for it, you knew what steps you had to take. You could communicate with that with your manager and say, I want to work towards this. And they would help you build the plan to do it. And it doesn't seem that that exists within a lot of small construction businesses. It's, you know, you'll see the question, oh, how much should I pay a guy for this? And how, what's everybody starting people at? You should know what it costs your company to run somebody. And so you should know what you're able to pay. And then you should have a clear designation of when, once you reach these steps and you know these basic things, I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars more. Like, if you got somebody that can't read a tape measure and you can start them at $20 an hour, the minute they can read a tape measure, can you pay them $20.10? Like, it sounds absolutely absurd. I get it. It's 10 cents, but you know what? It's 10 cents an hour for learning a skill. I really like having a cookie dangled in front of me on a stick, and I'm going to go chase it. So why not do that for everybody and let them know, here's where the, why can't I think of the word? These are the goals. And when you accomplish them, here's the reward. And then they clearly know what they have to do, and they don't have to come to you and be like, hey man, can I get a raise? And you're like, nah, you suck. Like, you don't have any skills. There was no communication. Then you still didn't even tell them how to get the raise. Like, you just said, nah, you don't know enough. Like, what do I need to know?
That's right. Now, if you're looking to grow your business, you need people to do that, and you need people to be successful. So that's one thing right away is our biggest thing is we're trying to create opportunities. We want people to be successful. We want them to take the next step, and that's what's going to help us grow. So anybody that's out there, you know, that is wanting to grow, I mean, it's not easy. You do got to go through some steps and processes, but you got to build up your, you know, the people that are working for you. And that's the only way to do it. And you can't be scared that they're going to go out on their own to start their own company. You know, if you treat somebody fairly and you're, you could show them a vision that there's more, then, you know, you're going to have a bigger chance of keeping those people. And not everybody's made up to be a business owner and go out on their own and do that. So, you know, there's people that are out there that are great employees and way more successful at being employees.
Definitely.
So that's most people.
You're right. I think it's one of the biggest problems in the industry is that everyone says, oh, you got to go out on your own. There's no money working for somebody else. Bullshit. Just bullshit. There's plenty of businesses that'll pay very well for good help that are a good team. Sorry, you're not help, you're a team member in a good business. Mm-hmm. I apologize. Let me phrase it correctly. But there's plenty of places that'll pay someone very well when they add success to the overall business. That being said, the company's been around 40 years at this point, and you've mm-hmm. probably been around long enough. How many have you seen leave and encourage, like, oh, hey, I want to go try it out on my own, and they get frustrated with it, and they say, you know what, I can't do it. Hey, guys, can I come back, right? And obviously, it's going to be employee-dependent, and I'm assuming with the culture that you've developed, most everybody is leaving on a good term when they decide they want to go out of their own, which means they can come back. But you've had to have had at least a couple that were just like, God, it ain't working for me. Like, can I have my job back?
Yeah, there's, I mean, definitely that's happened. A handful, maybe one hand in the last 40 years that I could think of. So, and actually most of them have been more recent, you know, in the last maybe 5 or 6.
Okay.
So, you know, you got younger people that are hungry, that want to go do that. And that's, you know, that's great. You know, that's perfectly fine. You know, some people have left because, you know, they don't like getting up at 6 a.m. to be on the job site at 7. You know, they want to take their kids to school and, mm-hmm. and go to work at 9 or 10, you know, which is fine. That's all great. And, you know, but it's been very, very, very few. And even those that have left, I mean, I got relationships with, you know, there's nothing wrong, you know, with, you know, truly with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I'd rather it be here, but you know, that's okay.
Well, knowing that you churned out a high level now business owner, right? Former employee, now business owner, does Visalia subcontract any work? And are those the first people you go to try and get to do those projects, since you know everything about them and how they will accomplish the project?
Yeah, no, we do not do any subcontracting. Okay. All of our labor is in-house, and we're just not set up that way. So, you know, it's not part of our business plan. Mm-hmm. Will it ever be? Maybe, but it's not, you know, it's not the way we operate now. You know, even though I have great, you know, relationships with those people, you know, at the end of the day, there's still competition. So, you know, I do kind of try to keep that at arm's length, you know?
Okay.
You know, no subcontracting. I can't remember if you asked anything else, but
no, it makes sense, but you're also operating, if you've got nearly 40 CTIs at this point, and each one of them has an apprentice. I mean, there's 80 field people right there alone just between that. And I'm sure there's more than that. And then you have your office right. staff. You're running a very large operation. You probably don't need to sub anything out. But for a smaller company, you might get offered something that Visalia takes on regularly. And there's this commercial project and, you know, Sam can throw 20 guys at it and be like, ah, whatever, right? It's just another Tuesday. You might go bid a car dealership and say, oh my God, how am I ever going to accomplish this? But if you've churned out some really good apprentices and a journeyman over the years, and they're still local, why would you not partner back up with them to let you all succeed on a larger project that can feed all of you, instead of being like, I hate him, he freaking left and he's stealing all right. my, he's not stealing your work, man. If you put yourself an apprentice on a project and it takes you, the two of you, to do a week to do it instead of 2 weeks by yourself, and then he leaves, right? So now all these 1 week projects become 2 week projects, and he's out getting projects that take 2 weeks. It's the same amount of work that still exists. There's not any additional work. He's not stealing it from you. He's just taking what you can't handle. So
right.
I don't get the mentality. Like, it makes no sense to me. God. So what's the hiring process look like? I'm sure at this point you've developed some way of attracting talent that's consistently showing some traits that you've like honed in on of like, I need guys and gals that meet these standards. Otherwise they're just not going to make it through our program.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to kind of what I was saying earlier. We usually hire people without experience. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's certain qualifications we do want them to meet, and really it's just it's not hard. However, we do want some aspects that show, you know, somebody is going to fit in. You know, we want them to have at least a GED or a high school diploma. You know, we set appointments, you know, for them to fill out an application, and we want them to show up. You know, we do it here. It's not online. Mm-hmm. Because we want them to make sure, you know, we want to see if they could show up on time or if they're going to show up at all.
Yeah.
And then pretty much from there, as long as somebody can, you know, pass a drug test, you know, that's, you know, they're, and they seem like they're, you know, hireable people, we're going to hire and we're going to train and, you know, we're going to put that, you know, all of that work into it. As far as like people with experience, you know, we always take people with experience and we're always willing to try that out. I mean, it just all depends, you know, mm-hmm. what level of experience that they have and, you know, and how we work them into our, you know, culture and everything else. So, we like promoting from within though. So, because mm-hmm. we know what we're getting.
Yeah.
So if we're hiring people without any experience, and, you know, usually we're promoting, you know, these guys that are ready to go from that finisher position to that setter position.
Okay. Is there a formal sit down interview process as part of it? And then do you have specific questions that you're asking that pertain to core values of the company or personality traits that you're looking to hit on and see how they respond to questions? Because I think if that's part of the program, I'm sorry, but if that's part of the program, right, and how you're getting into it, again, I think the common way that a lot of smaller contracting companies do it, and this is how I was doing it, it was the exact same way, was I need somebody. Does anybody have an 18 to 24 year old kid that has absolutely no goals in life and sits around all day doing nothing? Yes. Oh, okay. Hey, kid, you have a pulse and you can show up on Tuesday? Yeah. All right. Come on out. We'll see how this goes. Oh. Great. Like, oh. And I was disappointed every time. And back then I couldn't figure out why. Now I've learned enough to be like, oh, well, it's because there was no standard to be met. Therefore I would take anything and then say, oh, it's they're lazy. They suck. They don't want to do. No, it was asking for lazy kids when I was like, who knows a young kid that's sitting around doing nothing? They're doing nothing because they're already lazy.
I would say there are certain things we look for. I mean, we have an application that goes through some math skills, you know, read a tape measure type thing. You know, that's all on paper. But, you know, we're also looking at his work history. Mm-hmm. You know, if we come across somebody that has, you know, three different jobs in the last 3 months, you know, there's probably a reason for that. You know, if somebody that's been, you know, somewhere, you know, one job for the last 2 years and they're still young or whatever, that's probably somebody that's, you know, that's very hireable for us. You know, so we're looking at work history. If it's somebody right out of high school, you know, we're willing to take that chance to find that out. You know, we want to be able to see that they showed up to an interview and you know, they got a high school diploma.
Okay. No, you're very open to who you'll take. It seems like it's fairly easy to get hired as long as you show some amount of commitment and you're willing to take a chance on somebody that has no work history and you're looking for people that have consistent work history out of ones that do. So I like that. I love that you said you have a test that they have to take and there's basic math skills and tape measure and stuff like that. If they fail that part of it, do you offer that you'll work with them or is it automatically like, I can't deal with you because you don't have these skills?
No, I would say that's just a, that's just kind of initial to say, okay, what do these guys know? You know, how, you know, and I mean, it's very simple for us when you think about it. You got, you know, 8 pieces of 6x6 tile. How many square feet, you know, do you have? Sometimes, you know, people know math, but they don't really understand that part of it for whatever reason. So it's, I wouldn't say that's a deal breaker, but it at least gives us an idea if we're going to take the chance on somebody, what we need to, you know, start training them on.
But there is a process, and that's what I like, is that you're not just looking for anybody on a given Tuesday that's available and free to show up and throw them at a job site and all of a sudden say, okay, hey, you're working for 8 hours today. We'll see how it goes. That you've done some qualifying to even get them to that point. And again, folks, I know you're all trying to run a company and you're probably an owner operator and you don't have a lot of free time. Spending 30 minutes to sit down and actually interview somebody and have a solid process of assessing who they are as a person. Can you get along with them? Do they have the math skills remotely necessary to help you? It's going to go a really long way in speeding this process up. And so that's it doesn't take that long to build out these processes and put them in place. You can probably Google tape measure worksheet for fifth graders and come up with a bunch of them and just, you know, start handing them out as you interview people.
Yeah, that's there's a lot to be said about when you make somebody write something down, you know, because there's, you know, there's something solid, you know, about that person that you know. So, you know, there's definitely a process, and you know, it taking that time, you know, in the beginning, you know, could save you tons of time later, you know. So whether it's 30 minutes you're spending, and rather than doing it 5 times to get the right person, you know, that's 2.5 hours. So, you know, what's better?
I think there's a trap that people have when they hire new help. And again, I went through this myself, was that I wanted it to work so badly for them, but they didn't want it to work. And so I hung on to bad employees because they didn't want what I was offering. They didn't want to advance. They didn't want to set goals with me of how they could become a bigger part of the company. I mean, I blatantly asked one of them, I was like, what motivates you? What do you want in life? And I'm happy to help you get that through the work you do here. I was like, is there a video game you want? Is there a car you want? A vacation you want? Like, what is nothing, right? And that should have been my indication right there. Like, all right, this is not going to work. You're 22 years old and you want nothing in life. And yet I was like, no, like he's going to do it. He can do it. He's going to be so good. And I let it go on probably like another 3 to 6 months before I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like I got to let you go, man. So you're right. The time savings alone, right? How many more people could I have gone through in 3 to 6 months had I let that 30 minutes be the ending point? And so I might have to interview 100 people, but I'd rather interview 100 people at 30 minutes each than hire 100 people each for a week.
Yeah.
To find the right one.
Yeah.
All right. Anything that we haven't hit on that's a part of this program that you think is vital to its success?
I think more than anything, I think it's if, you know, whoever's listening to this or whoever sees it later on down the road, I think that one of the biggest things that is underutilized, you know, is these resources that are out there. You know, the apprenticeship program doesn't have to look like mine. Okay. I have it registered for different reasons, and, you know, we put people through the 288 hours. Like, you know, like I said earlier, it doesn't have to be that like that. You know, you can use it however you want to. You don't have to have this apprenticeship program registered. Just by being a member of the NTCA, you have access to that. And if you're not a member, I mean, become one or find out if you can, you know, buy the program, you know, or get some type of access to it. But it is a super good resource. It's going to help minimally help you, train, you know, people the right way. And, you know, depending on how deep you want to get into it or how you want to use it, you know, that's kind of up to you. But the simplest fact is just put somebody in front of their phone, let them watch a video. They answer a few questions at the end of the video and, you know, they get a certificate of completion. You know, they've went through this course. You should probably know what they're doing so you can apply that on the job. But, you know, it could be as simple or in-depth as you want it to be, but the information is out there. Mm-hmm.
I forgot you've brought this up twice and it reminded me again. So you've registered the program with the Department of Labor. I'm going to assume that you're doing something along the lines of what, I know Aaron Albrecht has it going on because we did the interview about it, but essentially it's registered and the state now pays for part of the training. Is that why you have it registered with the Department of Labor, is that you're getting some of the hours covered by like a state grant or government grant?
Yeah, no, I have not taken it that far. So it's federally registered. So actually the state of California does not recognize my program. However, I think the biggest reason why we did it is we wanted something that, you know, we can put into place that is a process that's consistent. And at the end of completion, it's as good as a diploma. You know, this person becomes a journeyman, mm-hmm, in that trade. So, you know, that certificate comes from the Department of Labor, not from us. It's not mine. It's that person's who completed it. And that is the best value that we get out of it.
Okay.
You know, that is. Yeah. And so we don't really have any training funds or grants that we get back from the state you know, the federal.
Well, essentially it's third party verification at this point. It's like becoming a CTI. The CTEF has said this person knows what they're doing and there's value in being able to market with that and sell that to clients that, hey, there's tile setters and there's certified tile setters and we are at this level and we hold ourselves accountable and somebody else has signed off saying you can actually do that. And that's the value in certification. So the Department of Labor has come in and said, we'll recognize your program when they complete it. We'll say that, yes, they've met these standards and have passed and are officially at a journeyman level, which is great. I mean, that's something, right? You know, I think a lot of companies will hand out certificates to make people feel good and you're this or you're that. It's not Visalia saying it. It's at this point, it's the U.S. government saying you're a journeyman tile setter, which is, that means something. It's not just you saying, hey, you did it. Here's a cookie.
That's right. I mean, I could have, you know, any one of these, you know, these guys who've completed this program, they could go work for in another state or another company tomorrow and they take that with them. Mm-hmm. You know, that shows their experience. You know, that should get them, you know, a leg up for any job that they want, really, you know, anywhere.
Definitely. I got one last thing. How important is it to build them up? And we kind of talked about this, right? You're setting goals with them. You're letting them see, mm-hmm, their advancement opportunities and what they can become. How important has it been to have that communication with employees to allow them to know that you're going to leave them better personally and professionally as opposed to, hey, you're just here to work and get this thing done for me?
It's super important. I mean, we're a huge business. We have about 170 employees. You know, it started as a family business, and I still have like 20 family members that that work here. So it's still a family business, but I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we all come to work for our families to better our lives. And so it's so important for us to offer those opportunities, you know, for advancement, for higher pay, so people can support their families, so they can reach the goals that they want. And you know, if they don't see that, and we're not trying to help them get there, we're not going to be successful, because we're not going to keep those guys around. That people are going to go look for something else that's going to give them the quality of life that they want, or whatever they want out of life. And I know why I come to work. I come to work so I can support my family. And as long as I can, you know, help people do that same thing, you know, that's kind of the overall goal.
I love it. I think that if we can't find a way to leave people better than we found them, there's no reason to employ them. If that's not what you're interested in, you're only interested in gaining the manual ability out of someone for your company, stick it out on your own. Just stay by yourself. That's don't right. go down that road, because it's detrimental to you and them. So if you don't want to build people up and impart them with better skills, don't do it.
All right. There's, you know, great story. I have a younger guy who's, you know, a tile setter for us. He's about 26 or 27. He came to us when he was 18 or 19, and he's advanced through the company. He's buying his third rental house. Oh my God. And, you know, he's doing all these things. That to me is what really kind of confirms that, hey, we're doing the right thing. We're helping people, you know, improve their lives. You know, how people spend their money is up to them, but this guy is a great story. Yeah. You know, it's somebody who came with no knowledge, you know, to our company, and you know, he's successful. And really that's all what we want.
That's awesome. That's very cool. I think that's all we got time for, folks. Sam, I very much appreciate you coming on and sharing about Visalia Tile, your apprentice program, how you hire people and hold them accountable, get them trained, build them up, make them better. And, you know, it's all about having a team that knows where you're going to accomplish the end goal, that hopefully everybody knows what that is. Otherwise, it's not happening. Communication is absolutely paramount, folks. What do we got here? We go visit the website again. Lots of tools over there. Learn more about everything we have going on. That's FloorAcademyPod.com. If you want to help support the show, you can do so at Patreon.com/FloorAcademy. Even $5 a month goes a long way in helping me continue to do what I'm doing over here. Like, subscribe, leave a review. You're my marketing team. This show's not going to grow without your help. That is, unless you want to join Patreon or you want to help me get another sponsor, and then I might start having a marketing budget. But until then, you're my marketing team, and I need you to go grow the show and tell a friend. And, you know, I know this thing's helping people. So go tell the guy standing in line behind you at the supply house that you found this really cool thing that helps you grow your business and be more profitable, successful, efficient, all that fun stuff, and let him know so that he can raise the bar in your local market. We've got, I think that's it. I got a quick word from Tice. So we just did Tice. It was awesome. It was in Vegas. It was packed with new products and amazing exhibits. So whether you were there or if you unfortunately missed the event, the Tice team has released a lookbook covering a highlight of over 100 products that were featured at the show. You can access it now online at intlsurfaceevent.com/lookbook, LOOKBOOK, or click on the link in the show notes. Leave a comment. Let me know what you think. You know, give me some feedback, folks. I'd love to know your thoughts on the shows. I'd love to know if you were at Tice. If I didn't run into you, I'm sorry. I did lose my voice while I was there, so you weren't missing out on much, that's for sure. again, Sam, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to hang out with me and share your knowledge with the audience. And I think that's going to do it for us, and we will catch you all next week.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Kyle. Just one last thing. Sure. If anybody has more, I don't know, maybe a specific question that they do want to ask about how to use that program, or, you know, how to make it work for them, I'm, you know, open to conversation or anything like that. So they could get connected with you and you could connect them to me. So I'm very open to helping anybody who's interested. So
awesome. Thank you. It's very kind of you. I'd be happy to forward the information along. Just reach out to me and let me know what's going on. Again, we will catch you all next week.